This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Okay. All right. If you are moved, led to give a thanksgiving for those that are trusting God for a miracle in this wise, a seed can be an act of faith. You are the Lamb upon the throne. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne. Oh, and all to you we lift our voice to sing. You are the Lamb. Oh,
Isaiah Campbell, sing it, for you are glorious.
Holy and glorious.
Que tome na maneira Rupes ego habalaito mamale. Shaniko presco filato ogoboria. Alama maya. We proclaim that you are glorious. Your ways are glorious. Your will is glorious. Your word is glorious. Tonight we ask that you manifest your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Welcome to the house of God. And please take a step further to welcome your neighbor to the left and to the right. Hallelujah. I'm compelled to digress and to attend to an issue this evening. And the reason for which I'm compelled is an obvious ignorance on the importance of a certain matter. Spirits seek occasion to influence mortal men. Spirits seek to be able to secure open doors into the lives of mortal men. Having sat as a minister of the gospel, offering counseling services to many believers from different tribes, different nations, for as many years as I've so done, has equipped me with a little understanding that I want to share with us today. First thing I realized is that spirits seek to dominate and to control men. And the reason is obvious. The reason is because the only way the spirit can be known in the world of men is through the host that carries their presence around. You will not be able to understand the way of a spirit or what that spirit is capable of doing except there is a platform for advertisement. And in this case, the platform for advertisement is that man or that woman that the spirit has found access into his life to achieve domination and control. So I had to reach back into my archives to bring out what and what constitutes an open door for the devil. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 19. So the man on the keyboard, the moment I hit 20 minutes, you take the platform. Because we want to reach deep this night as the Lord sends us help in Jesus' mighty name. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? This scripture sounds as though there is an advertisement. Witchcraft is being advertised. The products that they have to offer are on advertisement. They are on display. He said, when they shall say unto you, at this time the prophet was saying, they have not yet come to you yet. But in a short while, there's going to be an advertisement to showcase the products that Satan has in his hand. Such life applicable products that humankind will need to take advantage of in order for them to be delivered from their insecurities. They are products that Satan is making available. Are you there? Just like we saw, there's no amen today. The whole place is sober because of, well, it's too early to be sober. From what we saw yesterday, we saw that there are salesmen for demonic products in the city. There are salesmen for demonic products in the nation. Are you there? Because I don't even know where those products are. But from what I discovered yesterday, there is no ignorance as to where those products are located. Because it is available. In fact, the availability is not in question. He said, when they shall say unto you. And if we follow the text, if we decide to be true to the text, you'll find a few products that Satan has on display. The first of them is those that have the services of familiar spirits. So I need to ask us a question quickly. What is a familiar spirit? Now, if you want to contribute, the ushers will send you the microphone because I want it to be captured. And if that is so discouraging that you will not want to contribute anymore, then that's a serious burden. Who are familiar spirits? Because demons are persons without bodies. So what exactly or who exactly are familiar spirits? Yeah? Anyone trying to contribute to the body of knowledge that would dispense the mind of God tonight? So we have a lady here. Lady on purple. She wants to give us an insight into who familiar spirits are. Because one of the products that Satan has on display in his shop, productivity shop, is such people that have familiar spirits. Yeah?
I can contribute by saying, I think in 2 Corinthians 11, where he said that the devil transformed himself as angel of light. So in my own contribution, I would say that familiar spirit is spirit that comes to, that is, that comes as real. It's a spirit,
that comes as real.
It acts as real. Into and be manifesting his activities into the life of people.
And the individual. All right, that's a good attempt. That's an attempt, not necessarily a good one, but it's an attempt, and I appreciate you for adding to the body of knowledge that will dispense the mind of God. We'll take another attempt, and this attempt will come from a male, so the sisters have helped us with the attempt in defining who a familiar spirit. You can choose any one of the males. Go on. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
First of all, looking at the physical perspective, when they said, your face looks familiar, then when you move into the spirit, and you will understand that familiar spirits are those that act in resemblance to that of the original spirit, which is of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, the reason for which I requested contributions from the congregation is to test my hypothesis. I was trying to bring facts together to know if the body of Christ is adequately educated on the issue of demons, familiar spirits, operations of devils. And these two contributions have established the fact that there's a widespread ignorance on the subject of demonic activity. And because of that, we'll camp on that subject for a while. A familiar spirit is not manifested in the ability for Satan to change and become an angel of light. It's not an activity of disguise. Are you there? Sister? Yeah, no. That's not the concept. And the contribution of our brother is even difficult for me to... He's so advanced that I don't know how to respond to it. But when we say familiar spirit, familiar, it means someone that knows about something. It was Jesus that said that even when babies are born, the guardian angel of that baby is already assigned. It means that in the guardianship of destinies, there are agencies either of light and darkness that are active. Are you there? For instance, I have a calling from God. Even as we dedicated these children today, they all have purposes from God. And the devil is a bad devil that want to have access to the handle of the lives of these children even before they realize what their purpose is. And in order to resist any attempt of the devil to manipulate them outside of the path of divine purpose, God now attaches an angelic being to operate as a guardian to protect against a diversion from the purpose of God. Are you with me? You're not with me. Let me use some scriptures. I think if we use some scriptures, it will provide some. Now, I want to take you to the book of Daniel. It's a very complex scripture, but just stay with me. I want to teach for 15 minutes. If I can get your attention for 15 minutes, then I've laid the foundation of what I possibly might continue in subsequent days, like Monday, Tuesday, thereabout. But I need like 15 minutes to establish the premise, establish the foundation for this emphasis. Please stay with me. Now, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 10 into chapter 11, we find Angel Gabriel coming to engage Daniel. And the reason for which Angel Gabriel comes to engage Daniel is to enlighten Daniel on the full scope of the warfare that he has been drawn into. Many times when we pray, we do not understand the scope of the things we are engaging, how ancestral the things we are engaging are, how deep, how old, how ancient. And this prophet was engaging prayers for the nation of Israel
But obviously, his window of understanding, his window of perception about the issues that he was dealing with was so limited that his intercession was not providing adequate reinforcement to angelic ministry to provide the assistance that was needed. And so Gabriel was dispatched from heaven in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 22 to take Daniel through some education. Are you there? So, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Previously, when Angel Gabriel encountered Daniel, he encountered him in dreams. But you see, the destiny of Israel was at stake at this time. And Daniel happened to be the only visible intercessor that was standing to support the purpose of God. And his reinforcement, his support, the earthly permission he was making available for heavenly interference was not sufficient. And that was because he was largely ignorant of the context of the warfare in which he was engaged. And so Gabriel was dispatched to enlarge his scope. Because Gabriel is the angel that has been assigned overhead. Are you there? You know, originally it was Gabriel that was assigned to respond to the concerns that Daniel was raising. Are you with me? But you see, when Gabriel went into the territory of warfare, he met demons and principalities that had higher ranking than himself, and those principalities put him in a spiritual jail. So when it was obvious that the petition that Daniel was offering to the heavenlies was still coming in after Gabriel was sent to bring the answers to that which Daniel was praying, then it became obvious that Gabriel was no longer in circulation. Are you following the background story? I don't want you to be ignorant. That's why I'm. We have a lot to say, and we have a lot to study. And we'll take it just little bit by bit. If we take it bit by bit, it will not be complex. But if we want to load it on, it might be difficult for you to cope. So it was obvious that Gabriel was no longer in circulation. So the highest military angelic personality, because Michael is a warring angel. Are you there? Not just a warring angel, he is a warring prince. That means in the quadrant, just like we have among military people, we have chief of army staff. That's the highest in that quadrant. We also have chief of naval staff. We have chief of air staff. So Michael is the chief of warring angels. So Michael was drafted into the battle. The first thing that Michael did was to discomfit the princes of darkness. Because spiritual warfare is according to rank. And I need to tell you quickly that it is only a prince that can bind a prince. I don't have time to open scriptures, but trust me on that. But nowhere in scripture was it written that Gabriel was a prince. But Daniel, the book of Daniel revealed that Michael had this designation of a prince. And he was the one that was now released to unlock the maze. When he got there, he discomfited the princes of darkness, held them, and released Gabriel to go educate the intercessor that was upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? You are not following me. I want to tell you something quickly. This is as a result of the limits of understanding that I have in view of many years of Bible study. If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, you will realize the scope of human authority. It was already crafted, it was built into scripture from the book of Genesis. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Then the dominion of man was itemized over the fish of the sea, that is aquatic, over the land, that is terrestrial, over the birds of the air, that is atmospheric. So the scope of man's authority is atmospheric, is terrestrial, and aquatic. Is that clear? Now, but we have demons and princes that operate, they are called spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. Are you there? The spiritual wickedness that operates in the heavenly realms are not within the scope of human authority. The easiest way to die, if you want to die, let me tell you one way to die. Wake up in the morning and begin to rebuke spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. Continue in that activity. Give us money before you do it. Let's arrange coffin and those other matters. You have transgressed your jurisdiction, and it cannot end well with you. Now, the issue of Daniel reveals to us how spiritual warfare is executed. Are you there? So, we have principalities, we have powers, we have the rulers of the darkness of this world, this our own world. Are you there? These three entities are within the scope where the authority of man is efficacious. But spiritual wickedness is in another domain. Are you there now? So if God sends you to accomplish something and spiritual wickedness is involved, as you are interceding, heaven assigns angelic personalities to deal at that level. Is that clear? So there is supposed to be a partnership between the prophet and the angelic personality that is assigned to deal in the realms of spiritual wickedness. That is not your realm. Good. So many good men have died because they did not... I hope you know Jesus is our example on every matter because he's the pattern man. If you show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus, as a man, dealt with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, I will come and correct this message. And the reason why I am doing this teaching is both for the purpose of enlightenment and for us to understand the working circuitry that upon which spiritual warfare is anchored on. Now, so there was an incompatibility. How many of you used to watch wrestling those days? Do they still do wrestling? Because, sorry, I'm not too current on many matters anymore, you know. Those days in wrestling, there was something called tag team partners. Two people would be on the red corner or the blue corner. And then when one goes to fight and is exhausted, all he needs to do is to shake the other guy. Then the other guy is activated to come take his place. So there is that tag team relationship that exists between the prophet and the angelic personality that is assigned to take over the battle within the context of the realm of spiritual wickedness, which is beyond the scope of our own authority as men. Is that right? All right. So in this tag team relationship, Gabriel discovered that his tag team partner that was upon the face of the earth did not have adequate utterance. He had a deficiency in utterance that was limiting his dexterity in battle. And that deficiency was occasioned by his ignorance of the context of the warfare. Are you there? Do you realize that a lot of your victory will elude you if you are not adequately informed about the context of warfare? And that's why we cannot overemphasize the need for revelation knowledge when we are tackling spiritual things. So the assistance that Gabriel was getting from Daniel was minimal, And it was Gabriel's ministry of intercession that was creating the legitimacy for the angelic intervention. Do you understand that? You know, I told you that prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. Heaven wants to interfere, but heaven will not be able to interfere legitimately until the prophet, until the intercessor begins to supply the resources of prayer. Then the activities become legitimized and they can enter into the space and begin to influence things from their own realm. Do you get that? So the resources of prayer that Daniel was making available to support the activity that was taking place overhead was minimal. And the reason was because Daniel was ignorant of the warfare. So the angel showed up and said, you know, previously he used to show up in dreams and in visions. But he could no longer use that approach. He had to show up in bodily appearance. And the reason for that was because of the emergency. He wanted to upgrade Daniel to give him what he called what? Skills and what? Understand. Now you are following me. Skills and understand. When we get ready to talk about spiritual warfare, I'm going to bring this matter out again. The issue of skills and what? Understand. Now, the first question I need to ask, Chief Donatus, how much understanding do you have about the spiritual shape of your family? That is going to determine how much influence you can bring upon them spiritually. Oh, are you there? You know, okay, have I gone too far? How much understanding? You think that life began for you just with you. You don't know that there's a long history of priesthood that has taken place, that has secured portals for darkness along generations, along the lines, along ages. And because of the principle of inheritance, you cannot be adequately dissociated from that context. The best you can do is to bring about a priesthood that will undo the efficacy of the things that Satan is doing and establish a highway for that which God will do. We cannot overemphasize the fact that in spiritual warfare, it is altar against altar. It is siege against siege. Because the altars that went, the thing about altars is that if we establish an altar in 1984 and then we abandon it, the spirits that attended to that altar are still there. That's the problem about that. There's a sister here that could not conceive after marriage. Are you with me? And I was involved in connecting that sister to her husband. So she now came to me and said, this good thing you connected, there's a problem. I thought I had finished my job by connecting. They still came back and said, there's a challenge. We had to travel to that sister's village. Because I had to call the dad. I said, in my place of prayer. You know, we modern preachers are not likely to want to get involved in this kind of talk that I'm talking. It is easier for us to preach faith and speak the word. You must understand that my training is in the area of faith. That's my training. I was trained to be a faith preacher. But you know what? I study my Bible personally and I believe my Bible. And I've seen a lot of patterns in the Bible that has shown that speaking the word alone will not help people. So the spirit of revelation gave me insight and I called the dad and said, from what I'm seeing here, I need to visit where you grew up in order to release your daughter from the bondage that has not allowed her to conceive. So we had to take my car and we journeyed to the village. When we got to the village, I told the man, I said, Oga, this is not where you grew up.
take me to where you grew up. Say, are you ready to trek? I said, oh my God, that's why we came here. So we began to trek. We had to cross a stream. I don't know, Chief Donatus. Okay, were you the one that followed me? So we crossed the stream and entered the place. And because of the altar that was raised in that compound, in that entire place, nobody could stay there. This is years. That was where they grew. So the father had to, where was the altar? And I said, okay, this palm tree was here. Their house used to be here. We are in the forest though. Where we are now is in the forest. This stuff used to be here. Then if this stuff is here and that stuff is there, then the altar is here. There was no physical evidence that there was anything that was there. And I anointed that place and made a decree. I said, our work has finished. She took in 1 month after that exercise. The angel said, I have come to give you skills and understanding. So what happened is that I was equipped with understanding. And because of the understanding that came to me, it was therefore easy for me to know the equipment in the arsenal of the new creation that I could use to detonate the premise that Satan has secured in that family that was responsible for the bondage. But we'll do a full course on skills and understanding. All right, let me continue my story. So, the lecture, are you there? The lecture that the angel came to bring to Daniel, the lecture started in chapter 9, verse 22. But the aspect of the lecture that I want to bring to your notice is because this lecture continues from chapter 9, verse 22 into chapter 10, into chapter 11. Are you there? All right. So the part of the lecture that is of interest, which I want to bring to the table because of the emphasis that I want to draw tonight, is in chapter 11, verse 1. And I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood. Is the angel talking to him? Oh, you're not following. The person talking is still the angel bringing understanding to Daniel. Do you understand the context? So he said, I, in the first year of Darius. Who is Darius? You get it? Is one of the Persian kings, the king of Persia. It was Darius. Darius was one of the kings that God used to support the cause of the nation of Israel. Are you there? Now, so in the politics of outcomes and events and political trends, angels and demons play a very tactical aspect of the politics of outcomes. This Darius was not born again. He didn't know Jehovah. But somehow God has found a way to influence this hidden king to accept to protect Israel. To accept to allow Israel begin to return. This king. And because Satan knew that if this king was going to carry out that activity, was going to help the people of God, this kind of a king will be a target in the eyes of Satan. So in order for Satan not to be able to destroy this king, an angelic personality called Gabriel was the one that was sent to confirm him, to protect him, so that Satan will not have the capacity to sway him off or to bring injury to him in view of what he represented in the agenda of God politically to liberate Israel. So this is the concept of what we call the guardian angel. Did you get it? And I'm saying that those little kids that were just anointed, that were just blessed, Jesus himself said that the moment they are born like this, that they are angels,
they are looking at the face of the Father in heaven. Because Satan wants to thwart the destiny for which those children were released. And that is why they are lieutenants in the angelic dimension that are allocated to each and every one of them. So we see an allocation of an angel. And this angel was saying that it was me that stood to confirm. It was me that stood to strengthen Darius. The same way we have angelic guidance. That's how there are also familiar spirits. Familiar spirit, are you there? So whereas God allocates angelic guidance, Satan also allocates familiar spirits to each life, to each family, to each lineage, to each clan, to each village. So these familiar spirits are information gatherers. They're the ones that update the data bank of Satan, so that Satan knows all the loopholes that exist through which he can bring his influence. The realm of the spirit is a realm that is open to a lot of research, is open to a lot of data. This is what this man did. And on the account of this thing that he did, this is the door that has been opened. In fact, if you go to the book of Zechariah, you will find angels with measuring tapes. And these angels are always active. Anytime you begin to obey God, they have more jurisdiction. So they measure new territory. Your obedience has created more influence for them. When you begin to disobey God, they are losing territory. So the angels are very, very active in the morning and the night. Because you obey in the morning, you disobey in the night. So new measurements, fresh measurements, and may you be stable. May the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, the opposite of guardian angels are familiar spirits. They have a full history of your family, a full history of your life. When you were born, the circumstances under which you were born, that time you escaped in the night to commit fornication, they took inventory of your sin life, or the opportunities that they have gained on the account of your sinfulness. They have all of those details are there before the devil, and how the kingdom of darkness can gain advantage on the strength of either your obedience or your rebellion. So when someone goes to consult a familiar spirit, for instance, are you there? You are not following. This is one sure thing that you are going to find if you consult a familiar spirit. The familiar spirit has your details. So they can call the name of your father. They can call the name of your mother, her maiden name, the one that you don't have on her certificate. He can speak the name of your village. Are you there? There's a masquerade that we have in my tribe, among our people. If the masquerade comes out, the masquerade can mention the name of your ancestors. That you are son of this person. Who was son of that person? For me, I only know my grandfather. Then I know my father. But it will go beyond that. I said, that's your grandfather, whose name is so-so-and-so. He is the son of that person. If someone is lost, maybe he traveled abroad, and he doesn't know his family, they bring the masquerade. The masquerade will now say, you are son of, from this village, from that village. Your mother's name is this. Your siblings are this and this and that and that. So the masquerade will now help to reintegrate the person into his family. That's a familiar spirit. The familiar spirit has information of the past. The familiar spirit does not have information of the future. Are you there? So everything that the familiar spirit will reveal is about the present and the past, never about the future. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. So that's the first product. Are you there? All right. So the second product in this presentation are wizards that peep. Wizards. The capacity, the capability of wizards are also itemized in that scripture. The Bible reveals that wizards have the ability to peep. It's these wizards that can see a little of your future. Not the whole of your future. But these wizards have ability to see a little of your future. Do you remember when Jesus was coming into the land of the Gadarenes and he met the mad guy that was the immigration officer in that territory? Because the first official Jesus met in the land of the Gadarenes was a man whose abode was among the tombs. He was the clearing officer. He was the immigration officer. He was the authority that was by the riverbank, by the jetty. And the demons that spoke through that man asked Jesus, "Are you come to destroy us before our time?" So they had a knowledge of the time for which they are supposed to have dominion in that territory. So they were telling Jesus that his coming was not in keeping with the time allocation that had been given unto them. So these guys have an idea of seasons. They have an idea of timings. And the Bible reveals that they have capacity through the spirit of error to peep. Are you still with me? So because the wizards have the capacity to peep, they can divine and give you a fairly accurate picture of what the future holds. You know why I said fairly accurate? It is only a little of it that is accurate. The bulk of it is Satan's vision for your life. Oh, you're not following what I'm talking about. In the book of Acts chapter 16, for instance, Paul and his colleagues went to the place of prayer. And when they arrived at the place of prayer, there was a damsel that was there. And the Bible revealed to us, giving us hindsight, that it was a spirit of divination that was at work in the lady. And she gave soothsayings. Soothsayings are the so-called prophetic deliverables that come through vessels of divination. It's the closest relative to prophecy. In fact, it sounds like prophecy. Except, in fact, there are some very matured soothsayers that their utterances are so like prophecy that you cannot even decode using the Bible to counteract what they had said. You need to go use the instrument of the witness of the Holy Spirit to know that that utterance did not emanate from God. And that's what happened in the book of Acts chapter 16. He said, "These are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation." Meanwhile, this accurate statement that was brought came through a spirit of divination. Another product that Satan has on display is a product that comes from wizards that peep. This product is what has been a marvel, a great marvel, for which they have enjoyed patronage. And what is taking place in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 19, is marketing. "When they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter. It is when we finished the service yesterday and went back home, I thought we dealt with all the cases. I went back home and people accessed my number. I don't know how they got my number. I began to say, you know, my own case is so embarrassing. That's why I did not come out. I went somewhere. We pray in the name of Yeshua. And then at the back of the building, we sacrifice chicken. I thought we had finished the whole matter. Then all kinds of messages of strange dimensions. Strange things. Things that I can't even mention on this altar. And these people are Christians. It means that there is a marketing that is going on that we're not aware of. Marketing of products that Satan has to offer. And Christians are patronizing. Some that are done with blood. Some with ceremonial baths. Now, are you still following what we are doing here? Are you here with me? Good. All right. Can you see the scripture? So we have familiar spirits. They are masters of the present and past. Wizards that peep. They see a little into the future to come. And then they sandwich it with Satan's destiny for you. Just like God has destiny for you, Satan also has destiny for you. Are you there? So these wizards that peep have the ability to peep, not to see. Now, how many of you have ever, you were watching a movie and then somebody came to visit you and the person saw a scene from the movie? If the person sees a scene from the movie, the person cannot tell the whole movie from start to finish. The only thing that the person has seen is just a scene of the movie. So wizards have the ability to see a scene in the movie of your life. And I hope you know that someone that sees as such cannot tell you the full story of your life in terms of giving you wisdom and spiritual understanding of what the will of God is for you. Oh my God, are you following me? But they use that scene that they have seen as a marketing strategy to get your commitment. And then the moment they have gotten your commitment, they will sell you the product of Satan's vision for your life. And are you there now? So if you are willing to go on with them, they will now give you products from the storehouse of Satan that will legitimize the activity of Satan over your life. All the cases that we dealt with yesterday, and more grievous cases that are coming into my phone now from all over the world, there seem to be a promise of something that Satan could achieve, something that Satan could give, something good that Satan could make available. That's the marketing that I'm talking about that is going on. We also have wizards. There are two types of wizards. One of them have the ability to peep, and the other one has the ability to mutter. The mutterings there refers to enchantment, which is the ability to give instructions to demons. I went on missionary engagement to Ghana. And Ghana is a very, very spiritual nation. Very, very spiritual nation. If you visit northern Ghana, that's the home of the sorcerers. I've gone there once. And we are going there after this contact to check that place out again. If you are not rooted in the Lord, don't visit such places. You will come back with sickness that teaching hospital cannot handle. I'm not trying to I'm telling you the truth. Go to Northern Ghana and you want to preach. First of all, you need to check your life. Because if you refuse to check it, it will be checked. And it will still be checked. And if there is any loophole, anything that you have done that has given, familiar spirits will bring a report on your life and print it out. If there's any entry point into your life, you'll come back with a text message from the dead. In Northern Ghana, if you have money, you can buy what we call demonic dwarfs. You can buy a spirit. Are you following? If you have the money, you can buy a spirit. And then when you buy the spirit, they will teach you how to set up an altar to the spirit. And also teach you the language that the spirit understands. So that you can come and send the spirit. That's muttering. Enchantment is to give instructions to demons. But first, you need to buy the spirit first. There's a price tag for it. It's not free. When you buy the spirit, you'll be detained and taught how to manage an altar to that spirit. Because on that altar, the spirit will come to give you instructions on how you can achieve alignment. And I was told about one of the strongest warlocks of the north. He doesn't sleep any night. He does a regular job like other people. But in the shrine, he has to attend to the spirit every night. And what is he telling the spirit? I have no eyes. Give me eyes. I have no legs. Give me legs. I have no hands. Give me hands. So that's the praise and worship. Alright? It is when he has gone for 3 hours. Because I met the son of that man that was being trained to come into that office. But Jesus arrested him. So I sat with him and he gave me details on how the craft is. He told me how they initiate witches in Ghana. It's not like our own. No wonder our witches are not even so strong like that. they're not so strong like that. When you go through all the rituals, all the different tests, in Ghana, it's not everybody that can be a witch. That's what I'm saying. This our own. They just initiate in the bus. They initiate people there. Everywhere. Initiate. That's not how it's done. You see, there is a certain age that you will come for induction. Then they will take you through several tests. Then the last test is that they will kill chickens. Yes, chickens. And allow them to get rotten. And then they will prepare okra with that rotten meat. And food. Then you will eat the food with the okra and the rotten meat. If you vomit, it means you have no calling of being a witch. Can you say kaba? Garaya takamusi. Kumai te keboruko sike kakika. It means there's no. You are willing, but you don't have the capacity to become. So there will. Are you there? That's what I'm saying. Don't. If you want to preach in Ghana, when they tell you that it's in the north, and you know you are not ready, don't accept that invitation. You will come back and be a problem to us here. The witches that I speak of, there's a righteousness code among them. Righteousness. There are some things they can't do. In keeping with the lectures that they have received. Those ones are well trained. He told me that there are only 3 people that they
were taught not to attack the trip. Say people that pray in the night, they don't attack them. The outcome will not be good. People that pray intermittently, the person will pray now, stop, will pick up prayer again. After a while, you hear, so, it will not end well. Then the third set of people that they were taught not to harass are people that pray for long. You must have discovered that the only real problem of witches are serious Christians. They won't just, that's their only real problem. So there are such wizards that mutter. Those ones are the kings of enchantment. They understand how to give instructions to demons. And so when you come with a prayer, they can use that enchantment to give those demons instructions to go and perform what you have requested. And 2 weeks after the prayer, you will see results. Now, this is what the prophet said. He said, should not a people seek unto their God? It means even though the devil has products, even though the products are being marketed and being advertised, the people of God should only seek unto their God. So we do not deny that Satan has power, because Jesus acknowledges it. He said, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So it means Jesus acknowledges that Satan has power. Satan has some form of ability, some capacity to bring about changes. And these are the three major products that are on display. Meanwhile, the counsel that comes from the prophet is that a people should seek unto their God. So the first violation that takes place that creates an open door for the devil is when someone is worshiping Jesus but receiving help from Satan. What you have done to yourself and to your children, because demons don't forget. Their influence is transgenerational. Every form of alignment that you make with demons is going to rub off on generations to come. Except there is a man that rises from your bloodline that is equipped with skills and understanding, the erosion will continue. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Don't make Jesus a part of your life. Make Jesus the center of your life. So a lot of people get it wrong. They come to church and make Jesus a part of their lives. A politician was asked to pray the other day, and he removed his cap in reverence to God. And he said, Almighty God, this is a renowned politician. A politician that most of us fought at the polling booth to ensure that our votes were recognized. Some time ago, not now. Huh? Some of us here fought to ensure that your vote was counted. So that politician was praying because he was sworn into power that time. And from our own political perspective, we said he was a Christian. So because of that, we supported him. This is his prayer. We heard his prayer. He removed his cap and said, Almighty God, we know that you are God, even though we still sacrifice to these small, small spirits. I so sali makande moria si makunda. I just interpreted that thing I said in tongues now. Sometimes it's easier to say in tongues. Almighty God, we know that you are God.
even though we still sacrifice to these small gods. But you are the Almighty. What? God. Sometimes we don't want to disturb you, so we go to this small. But at the end of the day, having consulted them, we know that you are what? The Almighty God. So let me give you the direct statement from my mentor. He says, when we seek from Satan that which we should only seek from God, we make Satan our God. Should not a people seek unto their God? Should not a people? Have you heard that statement before? If I die, I die. It is only people that are resolute about their convictions to God that know that borderline. That other aspect of compromise you want to bring me into is not something I'm capable of. And if I die, I die. We dwell in a time of compromise, and many of us base our life of compromise on the fact that there is forgiveness with God. So when you are under pressure, are you there? You can violate God with the mind that you will crawl back and seek the blood. Don't you know that God is smarter than you? Are you with me? All right, a politician, he's no longer there, but he got nomination to the House of Representatives from one of our states. And the circle of politicians in that state that funded his campaigns called him and said, now you are part of the inner caucus. We need to tell you how things happen here. Then they brought an idol to him and asked him to swear in the name of the Spirit. So he swore. And then he now went and told another brother that this is what they said I should do. So I did them 419. I just came and I swore. But I know what I have in my mind. Okay. I can see my cobra. My lamb. This politician I'm talking about attended one of the meetings I ministered, and he was so touched. He was so touched and requested to have a time with me. So my host made some arrangement for me to engage with this politician. I saw that he wanted me to give predictions about his future. Now, do not allow a politician to use you. What me I saw he needed was Jesus. But he wanted me to use my spiritual gift to ascend into the heavens to find a secret. So the meeting didn't end well because our objective for meeting was not compatible. Are you with me? 2 years into his operation as a House of Rep member in Abuja, the party brought him a woman to marry. He is married though. Oh, you are not following. And they say the reason why he must be the one to marry her is because she is the financial back that moves things in Abuja. You know, he said that he didn't mean his the things they say he should swear. You know, he said he didn't mean it. At the end of the 4 years as a House of Rep member, he had an additional wife. And that wife was an unbeliever.
The only thing his swearing did to him was that it wrecked his family. Because he made Jesus a part of his life. And when you make Jesus a part of your life, it means you have no conviction. You can go and swear to something and say, we're just joking. You can touch something and say, no, you were just temporarily in the flesh. Shall not a people seek unto what? Their God. Let me end. I don't have time to open this thing the way I came prepared to open it. The way time flies these days, I don't understand what's going on. So let me give you, since some people feel that the scriptures are too complex for them to understand, let me give you some indicators. And if you see these things anywhere, run away. Satan is in charge of that temple. Are you there? So I had to go do serious research based on the things we have compiled through counseling over the years. Number one, if you see anything that looks like animal sacrifices in the execution of the terms of the priesthood, it means that you are dealing with Satan. Someone sent me a voice note about a lady that he brought to assist. Then the lady goes to this temple. And then they pray. It says, Yeshua, 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 Yeshua. Then after they do that one, they say, no, it's a name, it's a real name. It's a Hebrew version of the name of Jesus. That is more effective when you... So when they finish the Yeshua, then they have to, there's an additional part. They will give them chickens. And each person must sacrifice his own chicken. And then they pour the blood. And so that's another appendage of the Yeshua. The moment you see anything that looks like animal sacrifice, you are dealing with Satan. You are transacting with Satan. And the Bible says, shall not a people seek unto their God? Number two, ceremonial baths, where strange soaps are given to people, and sometimes there is a requirement that you need to take your bath at the river bank. Anybody in this congregation ever obeyed such an instruction? You had to go to the river bank to take your bath. You know we are in the house of light. The reason why I'm here today is so that every chain will be broken. When you come here, are you with me? Don't be ashamed. Are you following what I'm talking about? Ah, you are not following. That's why the response is dying out. I say, are you here? I was speaking with my wife before we came. A lady came here. She has gone back now. A lady came here. While we did the altar call, she refused to come out. The reason was because she knows she has my number. So when I was just preparing for this service, and I now started seeing lumps of messages from that lady. She was doing her own confessions on WhatsApp because she was too proud to come and say, we went and took water and we danced naked. Yeah, mama. You have lost the virtue of sincerity. You don't need help. You need to walk through the wilderness and let the sun scorch you. Then the spirit of repentance will embrace you. That shame will leave. It is that day that you are entitled to deliverance. So let's do it again. How many of you here have ever had a ceremonial bath before. You went to the water side. Number three is called temple prostitution. When the person that you went to help you felt that part of the requirement of the deliverance is sexual intercourse. You know, this congregation is... We used to be excited before.
I don't know what's happened to...
Sakaya Mokuria. My job is to prepare you. Jesus wants to fill the gap of missionary manpower. He's looking for people to... So, my job is to prepare you for what Jesus wants to do with the church in Nigeria. The devil is aware that Jesus will come here to look for recruits. So he came and brought all these kinds of contamination so that people will be dealing with issues of satanic entrance in their lives, and God will not have recruits for his army. Temple prostitution. Now, for that one, I don't know how to deal with it, temple prostitution, because you still need deliverance. But I may not want the congregation to know the case. So we need to... Pastor Tony, you are the one that is a pastor. How can we handle such matters? Give me wisdom now. Do you have wisdom? For those of you here, we are going to drop Pastor Tony's contact on the platform. If you have ever been a victim of temple prostitution, someone claimed to be doing a religious spiritual cleansing ritual, and he now told you that there was a last procedure which requires the anointing. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, nude prayers. The kind of prayer you pray, you get naked first before you start. That kind of... The reason why I know this gospel is going far, because the way we are quiet, I know God is winning. Nude. You go naked first. You have been doing nude prayers. You know, this is a temple of life. You don't understand. Let's start again. You have been doing that kind of powerful nude prayer. Okay. Is it Jesus? Who did you see in the Bible that did that? Is it the apostles went naked? Shall not a people seek unto their own God? Where did you learn that from? Number what? All right, so that's Pastor Tony's number. Those of you online, is this online too? Pastor Tony, they don't know you come. This is my gallant brother in the struggle. So please, this is Pastor Tony, and that's his number on the platform. You are at liberty to share with him very things that you have hidden for 25 years. We are going to treat every information you disclose with utmost secrecy, and the intention for which we ask for this feedback is so that we can put you on a platform to achieve deliverance. Okay? All right. So I'm going to stop. In number what now? We talked about animal sacrifices. What's the second one? Ceremonial baths. What's the third one? Temple prostitution. What's the next one? Nude prayers. The fifth one is what we call the exchange philanthropy. Exchange philanthropy. It's okay, the end of the exercise is that you go and buy rice and take to the motherless baby's home. Or buy something, go and give to beggars. That's exchange philanthropy. The moment you make that sacrifice, that offering, Satan marks you. And he marks your genealogy after you. The prophet said, should not a people. Should not a people seek unto their God? That's number what? Exchange philanthropy. So that you release your sickness to the people and then take their peace. It's an exchange system. That's it, an exchange demonic system. It is still in that exchange philanthropy system that people are asked to look for one member of your family and buy the person a car, buy the person a house, because that's the person that they are going to use as sacrifice for you so that you will live and the person will die. I've seen many people. There was a lady we went to rescue from death. And I went there with all the powers of grace that God has given to me. And we prayed for her. She couldn't stand. I said, no, it's not possible. You can't anoint me like this for this mission. And then there is, it was later that I discovered that there was exchange philanthropy. The person was eating from where he should not eat. And so we became powerless in the face of the exchange. We were powerless. There are some gifts you should reject, my brother. There are some gifts you should reject. Number what? The sixth number is the most terrible. I pray there's nobody in this physically that has gone through this. But if you have, I will spend the whole of this time of ministration on you to make sure that we get you out. That's the most difficult to deliver somebody from. Are you there? And it is a prescription from the necromancers. You know that scripture that we read? Shall not a people seek unto their own God from the living to the dead? That's necromancy. Consulting the dead on behalf of the living. In all the Edoma men here, they have kept quiet. That's the meaning of Aleku. Where are the Edoma men here? Edoma men. Oh, you have denied yourself because, well... Alright, so, you know, you have heard of Aleku. So, Aleku is necromancy. Forget about that Edoma name. It's necromancy. Consulting the dead on behalf of the living. And one of the prescriptions of necromancy requires that you sleep in a coffin. People that have gone to necromancers for help. Oh, you don't like my lecture. You don't like it. I'm seeing that you are doing like this. You're saying. One of the prescriptions of necromancy requires that you sleep in a coffin. Sometimes a coffin normally is for 3 days, 3 nights. They can bring you out in the day, but you need to go back in the night. And you spend the whole night in the coffin. Don't say, hey, calm down. That's the one I'm saying now. Huh? This is called the spiritual coffee. So that you can meet with the spirits at the city steps and understand the power that governs the land of the dead. Anyone slept in a coffin before? I'm not expecting. Huh? Okay, so at least that one is terrible. It invokes legions of demons to accompany you. Accept the Lord stretches forth his hand. And if you are listening to me there, oh yeah? So there are two options. It's either you have slept in a coffin before or you slept in the burial ground. Because there is this product that necromancers normally parade that they have power to do, which is to give people the wealth of the dead. That the people that died, most of them did not fulfill their destiny. So the richest place on earth is the grave, because the people were supposed to be rich, but they died poor because of witchcraft. So they have found the technology of how to gather their wealth, the wealth that they did not have in time. There's a way, there's a means through which it can be scooped and transferred. But you need to come to the land of the dead to receive it. Anybody slept in the graveyard before? Okay, one. Just one. Just one. Let me end by saying this. Are you following me? We're going to go deeper. This is the introduction. Shall not a people seek unto their God? I went to Delta State and I saw that many people have gone to do rituals with blood for the purpose of money. And they were still in the churches. And the music was still good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Satan was in charge. It doesn't matter how much prayer you invest on those people. Nothing positive will come out until they are delivered. So there was this man. This story was told me by my father in the Lord. This guy was a very wealthy man. And if I mention his name, you might know him. Because he's rich, not just in our Nigerian Naira. He's rich in the major currencies. He's a millionaire, a billionaire. In the major currencies of the world. He has not gone beyond Abuja, that is going to the north. Eh? So the highest north he has visited is Abuja. So he was in a hotel, so he turned on the TV, and my father in the Lord was ministering. So he copied the number. You know, when we have programs on air, there's a contact that scrolls on the screen. So he copied that number, hoping to. So he made a call and said, hey, where's your ministry? And someone in the ministry answered the call and said, we are in Zaria. The guy got disinterested because he has never gone beyond Abuja. So because he made that call, the spirit that worked with him now told him, prepare yourself to die. What made you call? What's that? Meanwhile, what are we even talking about? The guy wanted, he was rich. He was a millionaire in Naira. But he wanted not know if it's mortal or spirit. Or in between. So you went to the market and Baba now accosted him. He was looking away somewhere. And Baba touched him and said, "You're welcome. Humans walk in the day, spirits walk in the night. My operations are more in the night. So you come back to this place naked by 12 midnight. So the man came. Baba brought white clothes and covered his nakedness and took him to the grave. Because the market is close to a graveyard. So you sleep here. And he told the man that, do you know why there are so many mad people in Ejabode? Is this thing they tried to do that he failed? The moment you sleep on the grave, anything you see, don't talk, don't use your mouth, don't say, hey, oh, madness, straight. Just remain there. Oh, I don't want to go far. Are you there? So Baba laid him on the tomb. And when he was laid on the tomb, in the night, he saw spirits with multiple heads. And they had the language that all of them could understand. And they would speak their language and come close to him. And there was one that was so interested in him that would put his head close. The man survived the first night. And early morning, as the day, the first rays of light are breaking through the darkness, Baba will appear there. Take him somewhere where he will stay in a room. It has windows, but the room will be dark until night. So it's still the night condition. Then when it is 12 midnight, they'll take him to. He was there for 3 nights. And it was the third night that spirit that felt attracted to him came and spoke to him for 2 hours. And he was there. After which the spirit left a stone on his chest. It is that stone he used to swindle people worldwide. So, are you following what happened? Imagine such a man comes and meets a struggling pastor and says, okay, we'll just give you, we'll start with 100 million. Won't he go on air and say, I have come. I was in the wilderness. If you accept that gift, it means Jehovah is no longer your God. The man left the graveyard. And when he left the graveyard, he wanted to go. He showed Baba the stone. He said, this stone, this is what it will do, this is what it will do, this is what it will do. And one of the things that the stone does is that it opens his spiritual eyes. So he said that he could be a pastor and be seeing people's problem with that stone in his pocket. If he wanted that type to use the stone that way, he could do it. But he didn't want that one because he was afraid of God. Are you still following? That's not all. Baba Nan told him that I will show you your brothers, people that have passed this way and succeeded. Guess where they went? It was the same market. And the man spoke some incantations. The tree in the center of the market opened and they entered. And they saw the brethren. Many of them were preachers and Nigerian preachers. So let me end my story there. The pollution that has taken hold of the house of God is the most bitter type of pollution. If you have not known this, then you are already falling. God is not happy. The season of judgment will soon begin, but God is opening a window so that people can repent and he will receive them back. And we don't know how long this window will be. I speak to you, O preacher, O African preacher. The Lord sent me to you to tell you that there is a window of repentance and you can come back and recover the glory of your calling. If that window closes, death
will strike.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agunechim, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agunechim, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Ela Mona Yela Agunechi, Yeshua, Yeshua, Ela Moria. HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agunechi,
Elamo Kodi Abasit,
Yeshua,
Iloma Satoria,
HaMashiach, Lion of Judah,
Avoba Binase,
Agunete. Sing Yeshua,
Lion of
Judah,
Oba Maboria, Sikomenea. Can we sing that song one more time?
prayer points that we are going to pray today. But before we pray, we'll pray for our brethren. All our brethren that have been implicated by the six things I mentioned, please come forward here. We need to attend to you now. Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of Judah. Please don't be ashamed, this is the house of God. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed. Hagune Jeba Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Hagune Jeba Yeshua
your right hand on your chest. Right hands on your chest. You're going to pray this prayer after me. It's a prayer or a dedication unto the Lord. Say, thank you, Father, for this opportunity to rededicate myself to you. In the name of Jesus, today, I come to you afresh. I ask that you come into my life afresh. Take control over my life. Take control over the affairs of my life. Today, I repent of this evil that I've done. For this trespass, knowingly and unknowingly, I repent. In the name of Jesus, I submit myself
today under the government of your word, under the government of your spirit, under the government of the church, in the name of Jesus. Today, I detach myself, I disconnect myself from every spirit that has followed me hitherto on account of this disobedience. I disconnect myself by the blood of Jesus, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, by the power in the name of Jesus. The window that was open on account of the disobedience that gives the Spirit legal right and access into my life, I shut it by the blood of Jesus. I shut it by the power of Jesus. I shut it by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Today, I ask, O Lord, that you open a new portal over my life as you close the portal of darkness that was opened over my life. Today, I want to be having encounters with the beings of glory. Let me have encounters with Jesus. No more tormented dreams. No more limitations. Let my life move forward. Let my life be enhanced as a result of this confession, as a result of this rededication, as a result of this new open portal, new open heaven over my life. Let me have new influence of the Holy Ghost, new influence of angels, new influence of the beings of glory. Thank you, Father, for hearing me and for answering me and for delivering me and for taking me out of the hold and grip of darkness. Thank you for this liberty. I will walk forever in this liberty in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, come escabrete, likono katati kitusa, panta panta panta, ibababa, kopala, swata kitat, iledo dodo kadia, lisesike pepeka panda. But the dedicated authority, delegated authority, given unto me by my Father, even Apostle Arome Osai, I stand in his shoe and I stand in the same position that angels are sitting, mysteries of Jesus assist him. I stand in that same capacity and I stand in the office of the call. And I declare over your lives and over your destiny that from today that yoke is broken. I say, as from today, deliverance has come to you. From today, liberty is given to you. I speak liberty. I speak freedom. I speak emancipation. I said, move forward. Holkealas Paradaka Batas. No more resistance. Anything hitherto that has turned or has stood as an opposition into your life and destiny, I level that opposition. I say, I clear that opposition. I say, move with speed. Achieve what you couldn't achieve before. May your life be fruitful. May your life advance. I say, enlarge. Take your place in destiny. In the name of Jesus. What your family members couldn't achieve before, you will be the one to break into that achievement. Break into new frontiers, into territories, in the spirit that has sufficient resources to support your destiny. In the name of Jesus, you are free. The yoke is broken. Liberty has come. Jesus gives you peace. Thank you, Father. Henceforth, the presence of God, the power of God, and the angels, the fire of God upon this altar, and the angels that walk with this ministry, go with you and before you, and secure victory for you. The desires of our heart will come to pass. That which you have been laboring, places that you've gone before, that you were rejected, you go back and you've accepted. The doors that you have knocked upon, that have been locked against you, they are hereby open. Some of you, that marriages has been an issue today, that door is open. I say, go and marry. Go and bring that woman into your home. I release it to your husband's home. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Give Jesus praise.
You can go back to your seat. Now I understand that this is the purpose of the meeting this evening. I will not be praying for the sick this evening. But we have 3 prayer points. All right? Are you there? Three prayer points. The first prayer point. Father, that place you have ordained for me that I've not been able to enter before now, empower me to enter. You know, you've been on one spot, you've been stagnated. Empower me to enter. Empower me to enter. God will perform that which is on your lips. Do not keep quiet. Empower me to enter. Empower me to enter. Beyond the resistance, beyond the limitation, empower me to enter. Beyond the obstacles, beyond the challenges, empower me to enter. Empower me to enter. Empower me to enter. Empower me to enter. I have poured my vessel. I have prepared myself. I ask for passage. For passage. For passage. For passage. For passage. Empower me to enter. Empower me to enter. This is a season of upliftment and promotion. That's the reason why I am recommending this prayer. God will be uplifted. God will be promoted. Empower me.
Koba Minala Sakebo Kobalaya. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Listen, we know this from the Spirit, that this is a season of upliftments and promotions. We know it from the Spirit. Please don't stop that prayer even after this time out. Ask for empowerment to enter. For some of you, you will need an empowerment to enter into marriage. For some others, you will need an empowerment to break free from the pattern. Empower me to enter. And for those of us that are into the labors of the ministry, now more than ever, we need empowerment. There are vacant places, vacant platforms, vacant fields. We need empowerment. 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 So that we can enter. We need empowerment. God is uplifting. God is promoting. Yes, so much vacancy. So much vacancy. Oh, someone is crying about hardship. Don't worry. Receive the blessing first. And you will see that the blessing will undo the pressure of the hardship in this current time. Empower me to enter. In the name of Jesus. Number two, the Bible says he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than all their enemies. Make me stronger than my enemies. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Psalms 105, verse 24. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Can we ask, Father, make me stronger than my enemies? Make me stronger. Make me stronger. Make me stronger. Yobina siko pramina tantadi. There is a measure of strength we need to get ahead in this season. Make me stronger. 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 He increases people greatly. And he made them strong than all their enemies. Yellow double Santoria Brahma Capella is. Eso Brico Fala Botalia, Rame Caparata Seco Babina Lai. Yes, O Conde Lerina Sika Bramena. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, the Lord told me that He wants to usher us into the season of grace, where it will not be you that is doing it, but it will be evident that it is Him. Can we ask? Release the grace. Now, listen. Before we converge again next month, for the next contact, some of these prayers we are praying would have been fulfilled. That grace that is needed. That grace. I've started seeing little of it come on my life. Little additions. Can you ask for additions? Because the grace will speak. It will be evident that God is helping you. It's helping your family. It's helping your wife. It's helping your husband. Grace. Grace. It will be beyond your human effort, because God will step in. God will show up. Yes. You will receive help. You will receive help. You will receive help. You will receive help. There will be help. So much help. Help. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will receive help. Maybe before the next contact, these prayers would have been answered in the lives of men and women. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, you may be seated. Now, ushers, the offering baskets can go round as I give you a few announcements. For those of us that are online, take advantage of the details that are presented. Take advantage of the details that are presented. We want to use this moment to appreciate our online participants. They are very reliable people. Can we give them a clap of? Now, some of the trips we made, some of our online people showed up from different, they are members of this assembly, okay? In every respect, members of this
assembly. So we recognize your presence and we hope you have received your package. God is saying to the body of Christ that there is a window of mercy that he has opened unto believers, unto ministers of the gospel, so that people can return to him, people can bring the sacrifice of repentance, so that they can receive his favor. And I want to counsel that every one of us will take advantage of this provision that God has made to make things right with him. Because the moment this door closes, there's going to be an era of judgment that will sweep through the house of God. And God is going to be justified during that era of judgment because he gave an opportunity for repentance. Second thing I want to say is that God has not given up on Nigeria. Yes, he has not given up. He is still working on the project Nigeria. And that's how much I will say for now. Then number three is that there is a new fragrance of the grace of God that he has made available. Hallelujah. And I tell you with all humility that I have entered into a measure of that new fragrance of grace. No, it's not a clapping. I'm saying it so that each and every one of you will enter into it. Now, the proof that you have entered is that God will be the one working. Yeah, I know your effort is going to be there, but beyond your effort, just like the Bible says, God is able to do immeasurably, abundantly, above that which we can ask or think. So there's going to be an effort of God that is going to supersede your own effort. And that's going to be the evidence of the fact that you have stumbled on the grace that God has made available. Okay, so those are the three things I want you to note. Those are direct words from the Lord, and I would like you to note it. So once in a while, when we receive fresh encounters from God, we will distill it into simple, plain language and say it so that members of the body of Christ can tap from that opening. God will help us in Jesus' name. All right. We are going to continue. Pastor Tony has... Where is Pastor Tony's flyer? Okay, so we have declared Monday the 3rd to Wednesday the 5th a week of deliverance. Now, the reason is so that we can finish this work. The work doesn't look like we have finished it. So we'll go deeper until we cut off every ground that Satan has secured to do damage to the people of God. And I know that people listen to us worldwide, so we are no longer ministering to a local congregation. We are ministering to the global body of Christ. So what we are saying is not peculiar to Makurdi, neither is it peculiar to Nigeria. We have left that level. All right, so we believe that this is what God is doing through the errand of the anointing that he has placed on our lives as a ministry. So we will continue in this direction until we arrive at that terminus where we find peace that God has actualized what he set out to achieve. Hallelujah. For those of you in Ghana, we have to continue from where we stopped. So on the 7th to the 9th of July, we are going to be live in Accra at the UPSA Auditorium, Accra, 4 p.m. daily. So I'm going to be there with Chief Donatus and Minister Theophilos Sunday.
There's something we started. Then from there we'll do the Hannah Call Summit. And that will be on the 11th and 12th of July. Okay, the venue is not yet on this publicity material, but we are doing the Hannah Call Summit 11 and 12. Yes? And then this is the Northern Region Invasion. That is the place I'm saying, don't go there if you are not a friend of Jesus. And so we are going into the Northern Region, and we're going to be there on the 14th to the 16th of July. So all our friends, all our partners in Ghana and outside of Ghana that are Ghanaians that will want to come down so that we can have a general assembly. These are the notices that you should take note of, especially those that will be traveling in. And if you reside in the northern region of Ghana, this is your time. Let us meet at Tamale in northern Ghana. So the details are on the screen, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, take your Christian life seriously. Oh, wait. Okay, this is Fortress Ministry, Apostle Gideon. The moment we get back, we'll hop to the city of Jos and we'll share fellowship with Apostle Gideon. And then we'll be back for the contact of the month of July. Okay, this is, we're in July, Abby. So this is the minister's conference of August. This is, you know, we have a minister's conference once every year, and we are bringing my elder brother. You know, I have had a burden to begin to interact with the surviving men of God of Africa. What I mean by that is that we have had many preachers in Africa, but we have few men of God. So I began my search, and I found one in Cameroon. That's Apostle Pierre. Apostle Pierre will be with us during the course of the ministers' conference. We are making arrangements. He normally preaches in French. So, okay, yeah. He will come with an interpreter, obviously. But I know he can also preach in English. I don't know what he will choose. But that man is a man of God. So we are hoping to find all the men of God that are left in Africa and to establish a network across nations. Yes. And once and again, you will find the ones that are left, because many are in the shrine, many are somewhere else. But the ones that survived, we will find them on the continent of Africa. We just found one, and that is Apostle Pierre, and he's going to be with us in August for the ministers' conference. And in the month of September, the lionesses will emerge again. Amen. And that's my daughter, one of the most powerful women ministers in Africa. Blessing Conde. She'll be here from Cameroon for the Women Conference. So we are hoping to establish a very wide brotherhood across nations on the continent.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.